Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on building an old school pad offset course with crunchy sampler texture for drum and bass edits. In this session, we're going to make a pad that feels sampled, chopped, a little rough around the edges, and full of atmosphere. Not a shiny, polished film score pad. We want something that sounds like it belongs in a dusty jungle intro, a darker roller breakdown, or an edit style transition right before the drop. The big idea here is simple. Instead of having the pad sit perfectly on the grid, we're going to offset the chords slightly so they feel human and unstable in a good way. Then we'll layer in a crunchy sampler texture using Ableton stock devices, so the whole thing feels aged, musical, and alive. Let's start by setting the scene. Open a new Ableton Live 12 project, and set the tempo somewhere around 172 to 174 BPM. For this lesson, 174 BPM is a great starting point because it keeps us in that classic drum and bass range. Create two MIDI tracks. One will be your main pad, and the second will be your crunchy texture layer. For now, think of the pad as atmosphere and movement, not as the main event. In drum and bass, the drums and bass need room to breathe. The pad should support the groove, not fight it. That means we want emotion, motion, and texture, but we do not want to clutter the low end or blur the snare. On your first MIDI track, load Waveedable or analog. If you want the easiest route, go with Waveedable and build a simple saw-based patch. Use one saw oscillator, add a second saw or triangle oscillator, keep the detune modest, and close the low-pass filter a little. You're aiming for something warm and slightly hazy, not huge and hyper-bright. Now write a simple 4-bar minor chord progression. Keep it moody and straightforward. Good options include a minor, F, G, E minor, or D minor, B flat, C, a minor. You could also try F minor, D flat, E flat, C if you want something darker and a bit more rave adjacent. The key here is not complexity. The key is feel. Old school drum and bass and jungle often used simple, memorable progressions that locked into the rhythm and created instant identity. So don't overthink the harmony. Just make it emotional and repeatable. Once the chords are in, start shaping the rhythm by offsetting the notes slightly. This is the core of the lesson. We want the pad to feel like it was chopped from a sample or nudged after resampling, not like it was drawn perfectly by a grid. Try moving the second chord just a little late, maybe by a 16th note. Move the third chord slightly early, maybe by a 32nd note. Let the last chord overlap a bit so the tail smears into the next bar. Keep these moves subtle. If the timing shift feels obviously wrong, it's too much. We want a groove that feels off-center in a musical way, not sloppy. A nice beginner approach is to think bar by bar. Maybe bar 1 lands right on the beat. Bar 2 starts just after beat 1. Bar 3 comes in on land of 1. Bar 4 sustains and melts into the next cycle. That little variation is enough to create a chopped, sample-like feel without needing extra notes. Now let's build the main pad tone. After Waveedable or analog, add auto filter, saturator, chorus ensemble, and reverb. This is a very usable stock chain for this kind of sound. Start with auto filter in low pass mode. Keep the cutoff somewhere around 1.5 to 4kHz, depending on how bright your patch is, and keep resonance low. The filter is important because it helps the pad sit behind the drums instead of taking over the whole mix. Later, we'll automate this to create movement. Next, add saturator. Give it a little drive, somewhere around 2 to 6 dB. Turn soft clip on if needed, and trim the output if the level gets too hot. This is where the pad starts to pick up some body and harmonic grit. Then add chorus ensemble. Use it gently. Slow rate, moderate amount, wide stereo image. This gives the pad that lush, slightly unstable spread that works really well in atmospheric, drum and bass. Finally, add reverb. Keep the decay in the 2.5 to 6 second range. Use a bit of pre-delay, and keep the wet amount fairly controlled, maybe around 10 to 25%. You want space, but you do not want the pad to become a giant fog bank that washes out the track. Now we move to the crunchy sampler texture layer. On your second MIDI track, load simpler or sampler. If you don't have a sample ready, you can create one by resampling your pad, or by grabbing a short atmospheric hit, a dusty chord slice, a vinyl-style ambience, or a bit of noisy reverb tail. In simpler, classic or one-shot mode will work well. In sampler, you can layer and play the sample underneath the harmony. For the texture, think about sounds that feel like they came from an old record or a worn sampler. It could be a short pad tail, a noisy chopped chord, or a little slice of atmosphere. The point is to add dirt and character, not to replace the main pad. Then process that texture with Redux, Saturator, and Auto Filter. If you want, Add drum bus too, but keep it subtle. With Redux, reduce the bit depth a little and lower the sample rate slightly. You do not need to destroy the sound. Just age it. Saturator adds more bite. Auto filter can high pass the low end so the texture stays out of the bass region. If you use drum bus, keep the drive low and use the crunch gently. One important coaching note here, your crunchy layer should act like seasoning. It should support the main sound, not compete with it. A good beginner mindset is this. One layer stays readable, and the other layer adds dirt. Now let's give that texture its own rhythmic identity. Instead of lining it up exactly with the main pad, offset it slightly. Trigger the sample just before the chord, or just after. Make it shorter so it speaks and disappears. You can even use a 1-bar texture loop against a 4-bar chord progression. That contrast is what gives you that classic old-school, edited, chop-trackered feel. If you want a more obvious arrangement trick, create 2 texture clips and alternate them every 4 or 8 bars. One can be a little noisier, the other a bit more mid-rangey. That simple swap can make the loop feel like it's evolving without changing the harmony. Now we need to protect the mix, especially the low end. This is non-negotiable in drum and bass. The pad should not own the sub. Use utility if you need to reduce width in the low mids. High pass the pad and texture if they're getting too thick. Keep anything below roughly 120 to 200 Hz under control. If your pad sounds huge when soloed but disappears or behaves better in the full mix, that is usually a good sign. In this genre, the pad's job is to create atmosphere and tension, while the bass owns the sub and the drums provide the punch. Now we make the pad move in the arrangement. Automate the auto filter cutoff so it slowly opens over 8 bars. You can also raise the reverb wet amount a little as you move toward a transition. If you want a bit more pressure in the build, add a touch more saturator drive. Then, just before the drop, pull the pad back, either by lowering the volume or by high-passing it more aggressively. A strong arrangement shape might look like this. Filtered pad and texture for the intro, then drums come in, then bass arrives while the pad opens slightly, then right before the drop, cutter thin the pad, and after the drop, bring back only a filtered fragment or one chopped chord. That's a very effective drum and bass move, because the pad creates tension and release rather than trying to live inside the drop the whole time. Once the loop feels good, resample it. This is a huge part of the old-school workflow. Record 4 or 8 bars of the pad onto an audio track. Then drag that audio back into your session or arrangement. Once it's audio, you can slice it, reverse a tail, move a chord slightly, or create variations without redesigning the sound from scratch. That's the power of resampling. It makes the part feel like a found sample instead of a clean synth preset. And for this style, that little bit of damage is exactly what we want. Now test the pad in context. Loop it with a breakbeat, a sub or a respass line, and a simple snare pattern that supports the DNB backbeat. Listen carefully. Does the pad distract from the snare? Does the texture mask the bass? Does the offset rhythm help the track feel more alive? Does it sound like it belongs in the same world as the drums? If yes, you're in a great place. If not, simplify. Reduce reverb. Reduce the crunchy layer. Move the notes a little closer to the grid. Often the best result comes from slightly damaged, not fully destroyed, audio. A few pro tips as you work. Try minor keys first. They naturally fit darker jungle and roller moods. Use very small timing moves when offsetting notes. Zoom in and be subtle. If you can clearly hear the timing change as wrong, it's probably too much. And always audition the pad with the full drum and bass loop, not just soloed. If the mix gets muddy, cut gently around 250 to 500 Hz instead of gutting the whole sound. If the pad needs more menace, make the stereo image narrower in the low mids while keeping the upper texture wide. If you want extra life, automate filter movement so the pad breathes behind the drums. Here's a quick practice challenge for you. Set the project to 174 BPM. Program a 4-bar minor chord loop. Offset at least 2 chord hits with tiny movements, maybe 1/32 and 1/16. Duplicate the pad and turn the copy into a crunchy layer with simpler or sampler, Redux, saturator, and auto filter. Make the texture play slightly earlier or later than the pad. Add a breakbeat and a sub bass. Automate the filter opening over 8 bars. Then resample the result, and make one variation by moving a chord or reversing a tail. The goal is to make one loop that feels like a real drum and bass intro or breakdown, not just a synth exercise. So let's recap. Build the pad from simple minor chords. Offset the chord timing slightly so it feels chopped and human. Use Ableton stock devices to add warmth, Width and grit. Layer in a crunchy sampler texture for old school character. Keep the low end clean so the bass and drums stay powerful. Automate the pad for tension, movement, and arrangement impact. Then resample it so it starts to feel like authentic jungle and DNB material. If you can make one pad loop feel dusty, musical, and locked to the groove, you've already got a very powerful tool for intros, breakdowns, and transitions. All right. Fire up Ableton, keep it simple, and let that pad breathe with the break.